Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. I'm here with my good friend, Charles. Charles, are you there?
I'm here, Timmy.
And my other good friend, Brandy. Are you there, Brandy?
I am. Hi.
Hi. So,
Are you sober, Brandy?
No. No, I'm not. Okay. Thank you, though, for asking.
All right. Well, we wouldn't have it any other way. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. And today, the topic of this episode is Possessed, the real story behind The Exorcist. And if you're wondering why we're talking about The Exorcist in November, well, it's because we did not get to record our Halloween episode before Halloween. Your thoughts
why,
on
Timmy?
That, Brandy?
Well, I wonder why not. What could it have been?
Well, let's don't point blame. Let's just say that it didn't happen because one of our members did not show up to record.
Well, I
and
was
we will, you know. Well, we will let pointing a finger. When you're pointing a finger, you got four fingers pointing back at you. Remember that.
Not if you only have one finger.
Yeah, they both are very good points, and we'll just leave it at that, and let our audience decide the guilty party, because I think they have a lot of insight, and they realize that Brandy drinks, Colonel, and sometimes she is not conscious
Sometimes she's down at Andy Griffith's jail. She like Otis, you know, reaching around.
Hold on, herself.
I
got a report. Yeah.
I was here last week, ready to roll.
This is all hearsay. There's nothing that can be proven.
As was Timmy.
Anymore.
So I don't understand, but that's okay. Because, again, for those of you that listen to the live show, you know how this process works. And
sounds like
we can all figure
me,
out
devil.
Who it was to blame. What?
Sounds like fake news to me, devil.
I'm sure it does sound like fake news to you, or all news to you that we recorded at the same time on Sunday like we do every Sunday. I mean, that has to be startling news for you.
Sometimes it is, yes.
Yes, clearly.
Anyway,
right, Timmy, what are we doing?
We're going to talk about The Exorcist. The true story behind The Exorcist, it was based upon a supposedly real demonic possession. Course, it's something you're very familiar with, Brandy.
Being a case of a failed exorcism yourself,
so
you might know a little bit about this.
And there's a lot of strange happenstance surrounding the movie. We're going to talk about that. Well, including a serial killer who worked as an extra in the movie, Brandy. Your thoughts on that?
Perfect. Let's rock and roll.
All right, well, before we do, let me go through our introductions. I would like to introduce a woman who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent. She is known for her generosity of spirit and whatever else. Yeah, I wrote some things down that were not true. But
you got that one wrong, Timmy.
Well,
wow. Go ahead.
Wow. The very lovely Queen Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy, if at all?
Well, Timmy, you know, we set our clocks back an hour.
Yes.
We set our clocks back an hour this morning.
For daylight savings time. crucial effort in the war effort.
Yeah, so for whatever reason, we did that. And so, whereas...
Except we're not at war.
Right now, then. Hold on. What the fuck time is it?
It is 10:13.
But it's actually 11:13 if it was yesterday.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm with you.
But...
We've got to get those crops in.
Noah's internal clock evidently does not follow daylight savings time.
Was he up a bit early?
We were up at 5:15 this morning, so pretty pumped about that. And we had trick or treat.
Yes, how did that go?
God awful. Because
what costume did Noah wear?
Well, Noah wanted to go as Chucky.
Cool.
I know. Uh-huh. So
the Colonel Chucky?
No.
Chucky Cheese? There's a lot of Chucky's, Brandy. You have to specify. Yeah.
Chucky the doll from Child's Play, which is fine. We bought him the costume, and then he couldn't see out of the eyes. So we had to make adjustments. He ended up just looking like a lumberjack. But nobody would know because it was so fragging cold and it was raining. So we had, you know, everybody had to be bundled up. Like, I mean, it was just...
Yeah, you had to have a snowsuit on over your costume.
You did. Oh, my God. And we were out, you know, riding in the golf cart, so it just meant that this sleet hit you in the face faster.
Did he obtain lots of candy?
It was miserable. Well, yeah, he obtained a ton of candy because everybody in my parents' neighborhood overbuys. And then, you know, especially when it's bad out, they know they're not going to hand it all out, so they just... They just throw candy at you.
They give you generous portions.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Got full-size candy bars all over the place in here. So, yeah. I mean,
I didn't have any kids come to my place.
Well, because it was cold. I mean, it was a lucrative Halloween for him, but Jesus God, I would have bought him
Timmy,
a box of candy.
We should have Halloween trick-or-treat in July.
We really
Timmy,
should.
Your house is pretty fortified, too. There's not many people that actually... reach your front door.
Well, this is true. I, you know, the electric fence does tend to keep people away. But, you know, after the first kid is electrocuted, then they tend to
sometimes leave him stuck to that fence there.
Yes. Well, you got to leave him stuck as a warning.
A warning to others, Brandy.
Well, but you
this
still pod- have
I like to think this podcast
anyway.
Is a warning to others not to go into podcasting.
You know, that morning, Halloween morning, just to tell people how it could be in Cincinnati, I came into work and I thought, this will be a good day for Halloween. It was 65 degrees that morning and sunny.
It was amazing.
By evening, when the kids had to go out, it was 35 degrees and rainy.
Sleeting.
Yeah. So it was
sleeting. Yeah.
Not that I have any sympathy for those poor little moochin bastards. Come to my house like trick or treat what are you gonna do? What kind of trick you got if I don't give you a treat?
Did your house get egged?
Extortion is what it is.
Did
it's
your house
extortion.
Get egged? That's all I want to know.
Extortion.
No, no, I gave it, I mean it is extortion. It's like you give me something, I'm gonna do something nasty to you,
or you're gonna get
so
tricked.
I just ask them, what are you gonna do?
It's kind of like marriage,
bastard?
Colonel.
It's very much like marriage.
Good Lord.
Well, Brandy, I'm sorry that Noah did not have a
Noah
warm.
Had a great time. No,
well,
Noah had a great
candy.
Time.
Yeah,
he got lots of candy.
Sugar high.
He doesn't eat the candy. That's the tricky part.
What does he do?
So you had a great time.
It's all about the haul for him. Well, no, because then the generous little shit went over to my mom and dad's and took his Halloween bucket, which, by the way, Jacob bought him a Halloween bucket, and this thing is... huge. Like, it is the size of like two or three regular Halloween buckets.
Mm-hmm.
Pumpkin heads. And he took that over there and like gave all his candy to my parents and my uncle and his girlfriend. Gave like tons of candy to them. He comes home with like, I don't know, some fucking gummy bullshit, not candy. The fuck is that? So yeah, no. We did all of that for him to just give his candy away. It was bullshit.
Well,
that's good, because I had always noticed that around Halloween, although I did not trick-or-treat, I would usually gain 4 or 5 pounds after Halloween.
Well, Chuck, you and I have our own thing going right now.
We do. Me and the devil are stress eating right now.
Yeah, you guys You guys
so
are
stupid.
Under stress. You have it's very so ridiculous. Stressful. See, you know,
it's so ridiculous.
You're under a lot
I went
of stress
over to
at
the
work.
Store and bought like $10 worth of cheese crackers and cookies the other day.
To the dollar store.
At the dollar store, yeah. That's a lot of goddamn cookies from the dollar store.
Oh, my God.
You guys seem so tense at work. I walk by your offices, and you're just working so hard. It makes me feel bad for you. It really does.
Well, and then you go back down to your office and watch YouTube until your eyes bleed.
Well, but, you know, that's the advantage of retiring soon. People don't expect a lot from you because they figure you're just, like, coasting, and, you know, at some point you're going to leave, and they just wait for you to leave.
Ah.
You should retire. I really think you both should announce your retirement. It does wonders.
I'm about ready to move to one of those little places in Italy where you can buy a house for a dollar.
You can?
Just go
yeah,
off
but you have to speak Italian.
You have to fix it up. No, you don't. Mm-hmm. You don't have to speak Italian. And you know what? I talked to Leanne, and I am not believing anything that comes out of your face again about you can't move to England. They won't let you move there because they have such high unemployment and you can't get a job there. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, you really can't.
Leanne
because
says you're full of shit.
You cannot get a job at the Stonehenge. They don't need you.
Well, I could have.
They require someone who has rock experience.
They need it today.
I work with the two of you.
Those rocks back an hour, Timmy.
I've got rock experience. I work with the two of you.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You can't escape your troubles, Brandy. If you move to England, you'll have troubles in England. The problem is internal, Brandy. Right, Colonel?
It is internal.
Oh, whatever.
Speaking of internal, let's talk about The Exorcist after I introduce a man who really needs...
Didn't you?
We didn't give a warning, Timmy, and I gotta say first, I got some emails last week because I said take your Quaker ass on out of here.
Okay, let me give our warning. Our warning is we're an adult comedy podcast. We use adult language, and if that offends you, then
fuck you.
What was your email? What did your email say, Colonel? Well, let me introduce you, and then you can go through that. The man who needs no introduction, Brandy, a man who is known as an oasis in the desert of despair. If human beings were candy at Halloween, he would be a Clark's bar. A man who is known.
He would be a Clark bar. He'd be circus peanuts.
Do they even make Clark bars anymore?
Yes, you can get
it kind of falls apart as soon as you open them. They just they're
well,
messy.
So maybe Chuck would be a Clark bar. It just kind of falls
I'd be
apart.
A Butterfinger, Timmy, Butterfinger.
The very honorable, the Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy. I'm not good.
What's wrong, Colonel?
Oh,
well, I got a number of things. First of all, I got the Quakers all worked up on the last show.
I don't even remember you saying something. See, I don't even hear when you
during the
berate people
thing. I told them if you don't like adult language, just get your Quaker ass out of here.
Oh yeah, I do.
And my question
that.
Is, if you're a real Quaker, how are you listening to the goddamn podcast?
So you had a lot of Quakers writing you. This past
emailing
week.
I did.
There's they were emailing
out there, Timmy. And,
texting
and
you.
Pennsylvania. Texting me.
We are popular in Pennsylvania, Brandy.
Oh, well.
So, but I thought they was all, you know, didn't have technology, but apparently there's this liberal group of conservatives that have kind of gone
liberal
the,
group of
know,
conservatives.
You're such
yeah,
a
there's
jackwad.
The Orthodox conservatives and the conservative Quakers and whatever. But
what is this word salad?
Nothing worse
out.
Than a bunch yeah. of liberal conservatives, Brandy.
Oh, I mean, I'm sorry, sake. They got liberal Quakers and
so they're
conservative
so you're
Orthodox
saying,
Quakers.
See. So these are reformed Quakers, is what you're saying?
Reformed Quakers, Timmy, and they was all up in my ass. I just told him go make some oats and leave me the fuck alone.
Make some oats.
The other problem I got, you know what I found out, Timmy?
What did you find out?
What I realized the other day.
What's that?
I'm sitting at home all by myself, Timmy, on my computer web when
it was probably Sunday
men,
at 10 o'clock.
when he was supposed to be recording. Surfing.
Yeah. When most normal men should be on Pornhub.
Yes.
Looking up midgets, right?
Do you think they got Quaker porn? I'm sure they do.
I'm going to find out.
But they can't film it. They just have to act it out.
They just have to make drawings.
So anyway, Colonel, go ahead.
I was looking at cable knit sweaters for a 5-pound dog, Timmy.
Oh, yes. I've become one of those people, Timmy. Bo is very well dressed, Brandy.
He's dapper, Timmy.
He's better dressed than Chuck.
He is. I actually spend more time picking out Bo's outfits than I do my own.
But he looks like
about you.
He looked like his sweater weighed about 5 times more than he does.
He looks miserable. He looks like, why are you dressing me up in this bullshit?
No, he always looks miserable. That's the look he has on his face all the time. He's got two looks. One is, well, if he's sleeping, he looks pretty cute. But if he's awake, it's either, holy shit, the world's about to end, or I'm just pretty goddamn miserable.
So
that's just the look
he
has on his
face. So those who are not members of
sweaters on him.
No, he likes the sweaters, though.
He doesn't look like he likes the sweaters. He doesn't look like he likes them at all.
Those who are not members of our Facebook group, History to Use the Podcast, might not know. But you take pictures of Bo wearing his clothing, and you post them for comment. And he gets a lot of people like Bo. But
they do.
They question his...
fashion sense?
I don't know if it's his fashion sense necessarily, but whoever's buying his clothing. Is that you or the Mrs. Colonel?
Oh, it's him. It's so
the
him.
The cable knit sweater is me, Timmy.
I see.
And the Broncos, Bo got him a little Broncos jersey, so he can hang out with Rudy when me and Rudy are wearing our Broncos jersey. But see, the thing I realized was that most normal men, Timmy, would be looking at porn on their computer if they had idle time.
Right.
But I was looking on Amazon for dog sweaters, Timmy. I got him a doggy raincoat. I got him a doggy down-filled jacket for when it's really cold.
Is this part of your...
I don't know what to do with that.
Is this part of your...
I've become one of those people.
Is this part of your election campaign to come across as a caring pet owner... To win,
Bo is
going to
be my checkers, Timmy.
I see.
He's going to be my checkers,
like your checker speech. I see.
Yeah.
Well,
have you no shame? Have you no shame? Mock
you will not
dog.
Return, Bo.
And do you know who mocks my dog quite a bit, Timmy?
Who is that?
Okay, when you go through our group and you think, oh, she's one of the nicest, sweetest people on the group.
Karen probably does.
Goddamn right. Karen Michelle,
yes.
We're calling you out right here.
Your co-host of Spy Stories.
She mocks that dog constantly, Timmy.
No, she mocks you.
Mocks him.
Well, she questions its doghood, I think, Brandy, because he is not the most masculine-looking dog, especially in his...
Because evidently his dad won't let him.
Cardigan sweaters.
I mean, get the dog a leather jacket with, like, skull and crossbones on the back. Come on.
Well, he's got a skull and crossbones collar, so.
Well, that's not helpful.
Yeah,
it loses something when you put a cable knit sweater on him.
I wear cable knit sweaters.
I'm sure you do.
To me.
Oh, let's talk about The Exorcist.
Well, other than that, I'm fine, Timmy.
Okay, Colonel. Well, we would encourage those who have not joined our Facebook group, History to the Podcast, to do so, and then they can see pictures of the... dapper looking Bo. Some say feminine
and
looking Bo.
I still
others
post
say
pictures
dapper.
Of Rudy.
Yeah, and Rudy, of course, who supports this podcast with his Patreon donations. So we like Rudy, Brandy.
Okay.
Let's talk about The Exorcist, shall we? That's why people tune into this nonsense to learn about The Exorcist and
we're only 18 minutes in. We might as well start the story. I mean,
yeah, we should do that. The Exorcist, of course, is a 1973 supernatural horror film, Brandy, adapted by William Peter Blatty. That's a funny name. from his 1971 novel called The Exorcist. The book and movie tells the story of a demonic possession of a 12-year-old girl named Reagan and her mother's attempt to rescue her through an exorcism conducted by two Catholic priests. The role of Reagan, the 12-year-old girl, was played by actress Linda Blair, and it launched her career in film. She still
did it,
in
though.
Film.
Did it, though.
Yeah, because she was in that.
She did a lot of Cinemax movies to me. She did.
Yes, she did.
Soft porn after
let's
that.
Let's not then. Say, let's, yeah, let's not call her career launched. Like, that's what she's known for. It's hard when you've peaked at 12, isn't it, Chuck? When you've peaked at 12.
She started in that movie where she took a broomstick, You know what I'm talking about there? Chuck, Brandy doesn't, because, you know, she's not
she
in tune.
She took a crucifix.
To pop. Yeah. No, no, no. The movie where
no,
she was
oh, not
yeah.
in The Exorcist.
In
a reform
school and...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Anyway, Linda Blair, that launched her career.
She became the Tanya Harding of actresses, Timmy.
I think she's a lesbian, isn't she, Linda Blair? Not that that matters, but it's kind of hot. Anissa Jones, of course, who we did a podcast on, who played Buffy in the TV series A Family Affair, was originally considered for the role of Reagan. So, yeah, her life may have turned out different, Brandy, had she got that role. But like the book, the film was critically acclaimed. It became a hit, and at the time set records at the box office. I remember there was always stories of people having heart attacks at this movie and vomiting at the movie and running out in horror and stuff. I think a lot of that was just publicity, you know, for the movie. But it created quite the sensation when it came out, Brandy, back in 1973 when you were pushing 40.
Nope. You know,
what?
My mother,
well, you know, Timmy, you know,
my mom was pregnant with me, and she went to go see this movie and had to leave because I wouldn't.
That makes sense.
Sit still.
Oh.
Some of the pieces are falling into place now. Brandy's mama was pregnant with
hitting
her
a little too close to home, Brandy.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
What you may not realize, Brandy, is that the book and movie was based on a true story of demonic possession. Did you know that, Brandy? All right. Well, if you had read the script beforehand, you would have.
Is that Percocets I hear rattling in the background?
It's either that or certs.
Maybe. Why don't you just not worry about what I'm doing? Why don't you just continue with your butchering of this story?
Thank you, Brandy. The true story of The Exorcist begins in late 1940s, when Brandy was a young girl, in suburban Washington, D.C., Brandy. With a family known as by the last name of Hunkler. Hunkler. That's a funny last name, don't you think, Brandy?
You and your funny last names. Hunkler, yes, it is a funny last name.
They're 13.
I don't see this anywhere in the script.
Hunkler? It's on page one.
One.
Of
yeah.
the script.
Okay.
Under the I real story? Lost. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, for
Follow along
sake.
At home. They're 13 year.
Mm-hmm. Is he reading the same script we are?
I don't know. What is your title of your script, Colonel?
Oh, never mind. I'm on Brandy's page. Never mind. Go ahead.
Perfect.
Go ahead, Timmy. Continue.
They're 13-year-old, the Hunkler is a family that this story is based on. Their 13-year-old boy named Ronald. Now, here's a little twist here, Colonel. Their son, the real guy was named Ronald, and the fictitious person, the little girl in the movie, was named Reagan. Isn't that weird? And this is
that
a,
is weird.
This
too.
Is of course long before Ronald Reagan was president. And we don't think there's any association, Brandy. I'm just pointing that out. I'm just saying that it's a coincidence. But anyway,
yes, it is.
No, and I don't think that this means that Reagan was possessed by demons.
No, no, no. I'm just
He's
saying
possessed
that
by
it's
Alzheimer's.
A, we're not implying that.
No, this is a. coincidence, an odd coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
The 13-year-old boy named Ronald, and he was later referred to by the pseudonym of Ronald Doe.
Roland.
Rolando.
So they kept his anonymity.
Yeah.
Now, rolling dough, you get it? It's some kind of joke to die. We're just rolling in dough.
Nice.
It was a joke to Dr. Roland.
I see. Yeah, I wonder why they did that. Anyway, Roland was born into a German Lutheran family. During the 1940s, the family lived in Cottage City, Maryland. Brandy, you ever been to Cottage City, Maryland?
I have not.
I've been there.
Have you, Colonel?
Of course you have.
What is, kind of place is it?
It's too close to
Cottage City? They got a lot of cheese.
It is nowhere close to Maine. But go ahead, Colonel.
It's too close to Maine.
A lot of cheese. Neither one of you would like it. It's got a lot of cheese, which excludes Timmy. And Devil has got a lot of little houses. You wouldn't like it either?
I've been in some really low. I've been in some really poor and, how should I say, it's not so nice strip clubs where it was Cottage Cheese City, if you know what I mean, Colonel.
Yeah, I do know what you mean, Timmy.
Really?
I do know what you mean.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Roland was an only child. And
asses look like golf balls. Big
stop
ass golf
it.
Balls.
Roland was the only child and dependent. Well, of course, if you have one kid and they're possessed, you tend to kind of cut it off right there.
Yeah, let's stop it here. Although we didn't.
So. Right.
Brandy, do you have any younger brothers and sisters? You do, don't you? So you're fine.
I do.
Didn't learn their lesson. Roland was an only child and dependent upon adults in his household for playmates. Brandy, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that sucks. I have an only child in this house that depends on the adults to be his playmates, and it sucks bad.
Primarily,
can we really call them adults, Devil?
No, actually not at all. Okay. We're just faking it.
Primarily, it was his aunt Harriet. His aunt was a spiritualist, Colonel. And of course, you, as a man of God, would not. You probably don't recognize spiritualists.
I disavow spiritualists, to me.
And she introduced Roland to the Ouija board, Brandy, when he expressed an interest in it. Nothing good. Nothing good
playground.
Is in the Ouija board, Brandy.
No, there's nothing good in the Ouija board.
You know, I bet when Brandy and Stephanie go to their cabin in the woods, Colonel, I bet they get out the Ouija board.
Hell no.
Yeah, they step off their brooms, get on the Ouija board.
Mm-hmm. I'm not risking shit.
Conjure up evil things.
It's, you know, getting on a Ouija board is what Brandy refers to as going online. It's just like.
Yeah, that's true to me.
How long have you been sitting on that one?
I just thought of it, amazingly enough.
That was
no,
a good one.
I would not break out a Ouija board out at that cabin because all I have is a hammer out there to defend us with. So, no.
Why don't you take a shotgun out there? I've asked you 100 times.
Well, several reasons. The biggest one is that I don't have a shotgun. So,
Leanne and I, have you ever seen the movie on Netflix, 1922? It's
no.
Leanne and I watched
I've
it
seen
last
it.
Night. Yeah, it's a Stephen King.
I've seen it, but I've not watched it.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. We watched it last night. Yeah.
Sweet. Is that like Children of the Corn?
Kind of. Yeah.
Children of the Corn.
We watched
Creepy.
Tall Grass, People in the Tall Grass or something. We watched that a couple weeks ago. It's pretty creepy.
Now, I got a question for you about this, because this is just a logistical question that always baffles me. When you talk about watching movies, now you got a 5-hour time difference, right?
Correct.
5 hours?
Yeah.
So if you're at home and you say, it's 8 p.m., say, Timmy, and you say, let's watch a movie, it's 1 o'clock for that poor girl.
Wait a minute. Here's the thing.
1 a.m.
Maybe that's why he leaves work at 1:30 so he can get home and they can watch a movie.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if you know this, but I go to sleep very early because I wake up very early to go to work. And so when it's – even though it's, you know, prime time in, you know, England, it's still only like 6 o'clock here. So –
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Tim's been home for 6 hours at that point. So, I mean, he's ready to watch his movie and go to bed.
I sleep very early, but this was on a weekend. So, and then when we watched the Children of the Tall Grass or whatever that movie, the name of that movie was. We were together. We were in Boston. No, not the Children of the Corn. This was a different one. It was a different Stephen King movie. But anyway, 1922, it's pretty good. It's pretty scary. So watch it.
Okay.
Aunt Harriet died when Ronald was Ronald was 11 years old, Brandy. She died.
Yeah.
Now, despondent over the loss of his beloved Aunt Harriet, Ronald went into a deep depression, Brandy. Mm-hmm. He was unable to sleep and requested to sleep in his parents' bed every single night. At first, his parents went along with that, his request, but soon told Roland that he was too old to sleep with them, and probably they wanted to have sex. Let's just put it on the table, Brandy. Sometimes a man and woman want to
knock boots, Timmy.
Fornicate. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Let's get it on.
Gross.
And now, if you are having problems in that department, I would recommend a book that is soon to be released by the Colonel. It's not called How to Make Love to a Woman, because that would violate a...
I can put that in parentheses below.
But
yeah, it's going to be... Yeah. It's. I mean, there's so many steps to me into getting this right. But, and men skip over many of them. And women, you don't pay attention when we're doing a great deal of them.
If there's 10 steps, Brandy...
She said you still don't have it right.
Brandy, if there's 10 steps to making love to the woman, most men skip over 9 of them.
Yeah. And
because they're not informed like the Colonel and I.
And if you did, with too many women, Devil, with too many women... If you did go through the whole 9 steps, you'd be watching Oprah or Dr. Phil or something for the first 5 or 6. So,
so we wouldn't even notice what you were doing.
White cheddar popcorn or some shit. I don't know.
Well, here's the problem.
So I'm trying to get people
that
synchronized.
Seems oddly specific.
Synchronized.
And it's not only, Brandy, not only is the Colonel doing this for the women folk. Because he,
and for profit.
And for profit. But it's also his own self-interest, because if more men were making love properly, Brandy, their woman, it wouldn't put pressure on people like the Colonel and I. Who
Exactly.
So hey, it's in our best interest.
Hey. Can we talk about what happened in early January 1949, please?
Well,
thank you.
You know, basically, when you're the Simone Bowles of lovemaking...
What?
It puts a lot of pressure on
the Simone Bowles of lovemaking.
Yeah. I don't... Does that have anything to do with January 1949?
No,
I'm just saying.
I'm sorry, does it? You said no? Then shut the fuck
up. Kind of the
Can we talk about January of 1949?
It has been handed down to me. The Tiger Woods of
lovemaking. Gross. The Tiger Woods. You mean with a golf club?
The Barry Bonds of lovemaking.
Okay.
You do know who Simone Bowles is, right?
God.
The
just
amazing, amazing gymnast.
January 1949. Let's talk about it.
Okay. In early January 1949, it probably was a cold month.
Probably.
They were in Maryland, in Cottage City.
Too close to Maine.
Shortly after Harriet's death, the death of his aunt, who turned him on to Satanism, or as we say around the office, Brandyism, Ronald began to experience some strange things, Brandy.
It's called puberty.
He heard scratching sounds coming from the floor and walls of his room.
You know, a number of cases that we've done here involve scratching sounds in the walls, Timmy.
Yeah, it's Exorcism 101.
Mm-hmm.
A demonic possession 101, I should say. Water dripped from pipes and the walls. Well, that just sounds like bad plumbing, Colonel.
It does. And scratching in the wall sounds like a vermin-infested house, but...
The most troubling thing, though, was his mattress would suddenly move, in several cases, dumping Ronald onto the floor.
Well, that's just rude.
Yeah, that, I don't know if you can explain that away, Colonel. At first...
Well, now, if you get the book, Timmy, if you get the book, How to Properly Make Love to a Woman, you can actually make the mattress move and sometimes pitch your partner onto the floor in throes of ecstasy.
Oh, my God.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Please stop.
Yeah, they just hit the floor, flop around like a fish out of water. Yeah.
It's like so what happened at first?
It.
What happened at first?
At first, his parents thought Roland or Ronald was
Ronald.
Just... Yeah, but they used that Roland Doe. At first, they thought Ronald was just making up stories to sleep with them. Because, Colonel, guys have been known to make up stories to sleep with other people.
Their parents?
They have. I'm getting shipped out in the morning.
We're not even at war. But soon...
I know. But you know what? That was still... I tried that one in high school. It worked quite a number of times, and we weren't even at war.
Well...
You just can't go after the real smart girls, Timmy.
He's got a point, Brandy. You have to admit he has a point.
The top of his head.
But soon, Ronald's parents were witnessing these weird happenings themselves, Brandy. How do you explain that?
I do not.
I'm disturbed.
You know, sometimes you can just, you don't even have to tell them a story. Sometimes you can just walk up and sing them a song.
Oh, women?
What?
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
You just walk up. And do your best.
No,
I gotta look up who sings this.
No.
Let's get it on.
It's Marvin Gaye, you fucktard.
It's Marvin
Gaye, jackwad. No, stop
it. Let's get it on.
No.
Well, sometimes they fall for that, Brandy.
Speaking of Marvin Gaye, sometimes I'll say, you know, I'm just getting that feeling. I need sexual healing. Come on,
Brandy.
Come
now,
on,
people like or they like the Colonel's singing. He's very popular with his singing is very popular with our listeners. So you shouldn't try to interrupt him when he's singing.
I don't feel good.
I just tell him, "Oh, girl, I got that feeling. I need sexual healing. Come on.
Now, Colonel, have you ever used your voice to seduce women before? I mean,
it's such an affront to Marvin Gaye.
I'm guilty, Timmy. I'm guilty of that.
Just like
where did Ronald's family go for help?
Frank Sinatra.
They went to Frank Sinatra.
I picture the Colonel like Frank Sinatra. Just
don't
you know,
picture
old
him
blue
that
eyes,
way. That's sad,
luring in women with his voice.
Nope. Where did Ronald's family go for help?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Brandy. They sought help from every expert they knew. They consulted doctors, psychiatrists, and their local Lutheran minister. But surprisingly, none of them were any help, Brandy. The minister suggested that the family seek the assistance of Jesuits. Now, Father E. Albert
Hughes. The family up the street.
Father E. Albert.
The Jesuits.
Yeah, the Jesuits. Father E. Albert Hughes is a local Catholic priest. He asked his superiors, Brandy, permission to perform an exorcism on the young lad, on Ronald, in late February of 1949. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Okay. Let's do it.
However, Father Hughes, Albert Hughes, E. Albert Hughes,
yes.
I should say, stop the... You never see a fat priest, Colonel. You ever noticed that?
Yeah, I've seen fat priests. I live up here in the west side.
He's on the west side. Yeah, crazy fat
priest. I've never seen a fat
priest. Priests live good up here, man. Priests live good.
Now, however...
They take that vow of poverty.
Now, Father Hughes stopped the rite when... Ronald broke off a piece of spring on a mattress that he had been strapped down to and lashed the priest across the shoulders. So he was like, fuck it, I'm out. You're on your own, family, I guess.
Well, sure.
Yeah. This old motherfucker crazy.
So they tried this, you know, this first attempt at this exorcism. A few days later, red scratches appeared on the boy, and one of the scratches formed the word Lewis, which indicated to Ronald's mother that the family needed to go to St. Louis, where the Hunklers had relatives, to find a way to save their son. Now, this is a question I have, Colonel. Maybe you can answer it, being a man of God. And Brandy, you too, being a lady of Satan.
Somebody on the other side, yeah.
Why do spirits always have to be so cryptic in their messages? Why can't they just come out and say, yo, go to St. Louis? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I mean,
just leave a note.
I mean, why
just show up?
Why do they leave it for interpretation, Brandy? Why not just be upfront and clear?
Well, because I don't know where she got out that they needed to go to St. Louis. I mean, they could have been saying, "Hey, get Lewis down the street to come here." Or,
well, that's my point. It leads a lot to interpretation, and she may have just been wrong. All right.
Yeah, she might have been. But okay, let's continue.
Okay. You know, let me throw some in here. Now, my son Taylor, he has this skin condition, and it's
like yours?
Goddamn amazing. When he gets flare-ups,
I had a skin condition too, but penicillin cleared it all up. But
does he have that
through his whole body?
Oh no! I know. I think I know what you're even going to talk about. It's where you can write on his skin.
Yes, he can just run his finger over his skin. And it'll raise up as a red welt.
Yeah, I can't think of what that's called.
Well, write that down, Brandy.
No,
I got to look it up.
That.
But he will fuck with people like, write, help me on his stomach, and then lift up his shirt. I mean, it's crazy.
That does sound amazing.
And it
story.
Only happens when he has a flare-up, and it's something minor. They don't really worry about it.
Are you suggesting that this was the problem with young Roland in 1949?
I believe it might have been.
Hmm.
I believe he just had a little bit of a skin condition that they didn't treat.
And he wanted to go to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
A cousin of the family was attending St. Louis University at the time, Brandy. Of course, St. Louis University, located in the city of St. Louis.
Sure.
She put the Hunklers in touch with Father Walter Halloran and Reverend William Bodron. Two priests in the St. Louis area. After consulting with the university president, these two Jesuits agreed to perform an exorcism on young Ronald with the help of several assistants. The men gathered at the residence on Roanoke Drive, Brandy, in early March of 1949. There, the exorcist witnessed scratching on the boy's body, and the mattress that he was laying on moved violently, Brandy. These were the same types of things that happened in Maryland when the first exorcism failed. So apparently it was the boy and not the location, Brandy. Your thoughts on that?
He was 13 years old.
Wow,
you could have
saw that.
I imagine that that mattress crunched a little bit when you pushed on it too, Timmy.
That's so gross.
You know how 13-year-olds are want to be.
Mm. Okay, hey, just for the edification of our listeners, dermatographia is the name of
That's it.
It's autoimmune. It's an autoimmune thing.
Taylor has that.
It's called skin writing.
Mm. And you know, people that have it will draw these elaborate designs on the skin. And Taylor, Logan told him, he's like, that's the greatest life hack of all. You never have to get another tattoo.
Yeah, that's a good point, Brandy.
Again, amazing story.
But then it goes away after a day or two, and the marks are all gone. But
great.
Well,
okay.
During the exorcism, Ronald's eyes turned blood red. And he started to converse with the priest in Latin, which is a tough language to learn, Brandy. Even though...
quid pro quo to me.
That's good.
I've become familiar with that phrase.
Yeah. Even though the 13-year-old had never studied Latin, Brandy. Imagine that.
Veritas equitas to me. Veritas in equitas.
He shook violently and at one point began singing nursery rhymes while rocking back and forth. Brandy, that's pretty creepy.
Yes.
That is creepy.
The boy's behavior was so unnerving that the Reverend Baldwin considered leaving the priesthood. Brandy, your thoughts on that?
I don't blame him. I'd have left it a long time ago.
I think he was just horny, Timmy. He had a crush on one of the people in the thing.
The 13-year-old boy, Ronald, or the priest? Maybe both.
Hey, you know, here's an off-the-topic story, Timmy, but...
imagine that. Imagine,
she knew this guy.
Imagine that, Brandy.
I cannot.
I knew this guy. It was a priest and a nun, Timmy.
Uh-huh.
A priest and a nun, right up here in one of our parishes. They fell in love. And rather than do something illicit, they both thought about it and considered it and I suppose prayed about it. And they both left their positions in the church.
Yeah, it happened in my my hometown too.
And they got married.
So it's not that unusual.
And do you know what happened 1 year later, Timmy?
They got divorced.
They won the goddamn lottery, Timmy.
Oh. How about that, Brandy?
So I guess God was not displeased with them, Timmy.
Well,
yeah, it's a sign.
No, it's a true story. It's a true story.
Yeah, it happened
Sometimes truth is stranger than fiction.
I lived across the street from a Catholic church when I was growing up, and the priest and nuns would come out and play wiffle ball with us, and that sort of thing. And a young priest and a young nun eloped, and it was quite the scandal in 1971. And
this was kind of scandalous, but it wasn't as scandalous because apparently they just recognized their feelings, talked it over, and decided to just leave the church.
I bet they had
sex. Still very religious.
Oh my God!
I bet they had sex.
Yeah, but you know, unfortunately, going into the priesthood, they don't.
Can I leave this podcast? Come
they
on!
Don't give you. They don't give you the book. You know, my first book, my primer book. How to Please a Woman.
Mm-hmm.
He, of course, he'd never read that. So he was just kind of fumbling blindly for the first year or so.
Oh, Colonel, does anyone ever bring up to you how ironic they find it that you are a man of God and, of course, have the Church of the Latter-day Colonel and mm-hmm. you serve your flock, but yet at the same time you're writing sex manuals? Is there...
Well, it falls under Be Good to Your Neighbor, Timmy.
I see. Amid these bizarre happenings,
it's my gift.
Your gift. See,
everybody's got a gift.
To men and women alike.
You should find a different gift.
Yes, and the Lord wants you to use your gifts however you can. So my gift to mankind is this. Now, some people, it's architecture. Some people, it's philosophers. And some people, Well, like Brandy, I'm digging deep here, and I'm trying to come up with something. But like yours, Timmy, it's the prose you write.
He makes a good point, Brandy.
Yeah, and then Brandy's still digging, trying to find.
Well, give us some thought, Colonel. Maybe in an episode.
Yeah,
or two
we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that. Yeah.
Amid these bizarre happenings, the priest, according to their reports, noticed a pattern of Ronald's behavior. He was calm and normal during the day, but at night, after settling in for bed, he would exhibit strange behavior, including screaming and wild outbursts. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
You know what? But every kid does that when they go to bed, so that's really not that unusual.
Ronald,
that sounds like diurnal rhythmic disorder.
I didn't even realize that was a word, but
his circadian rhythms were all jacked up, Timmy. And you know what it's from?
What?
It's from the goddamn time change, Timmy.
So you think that it wasn't he was possessed by demons, that it was just
he was pissed because of the time change?
daylight saving time.
Sleep deprived.
Well, that's an interesting theory, hypothesis.
Well,
Brandy,
we just gained an hour, so the sleep deprived really shouldn't be a thing, but okay.
I think we lost it on this podcast. Ronald would also enter a trance-like state and start making sounds in a guttural voice. The priest supposedly also saw...
Who doesn't do that?
The priest also supposedly saw mysterious flying objects, Brandy, in the boy's presence, and noted that he would react violently when he saw any sacred object presented by the attending Jesuits. So like a cross or something, he would lose his shit, apparently. At one point during this ordeal, which lasted several weeks, one of the priests reportedly saw an axe appear in scratches on Ronald's chest, and the priest believed it was to signified the number 10.
It could have just been an X marks the spot kind of thing.
Well, there was treasure underneath that. See, his heart was his treasure, Timmy.
Or stake him here.
Yeah, one of the two. It's either one of the two.
In another incident, a pitchfork-shaped pattern of red lines moved from the boy. A pitchfork-shaped pattern of red lines moved from the boy's thigh and snaked down toward his ankle.
That's a lot of syllables in that word.
That would make a good tattoo, shaped though.
Pattern. These types of things happen every night for more than a month, and everyone witnessing these events believed that Ronald was possessed by 10 demons. Oh, that's where the significant.
Why, though? Like, what? Okay. Ugh.
The good two priests never gave up as they continued the exorcism night after night. On the evening of, remember that one story we did about the Annalise Nichols? Remember?
Yep.
Where the priest just like fucking gave up. And they're like, oh, we're out of here. Fuck. We're done. Yes,
well, they starved her.
Yeah. But there were several exorcisms that took place. One of them, the priest just like, I'm done. It was taking too much of his time. On the evening of March, you have to be committed, Colonel, when you start exorcism on someone. You really do. You're it.
You can't
have to
quit
be
halfway
in it.
Through.
You have to be in it to win it, Brandy.
Yep.
On the evening of March 20th, 1949.
They should have brought Joel Osteen in there, Timmy.
Yeah. The exorcism reached an unhealthy new level, Colonel. Ronald urinated all over.
It's been healthy up to this point.
Right.
Ronald urinated all over his bed and began shouting and cursing at the priest. And Brandy, that's just poor form if you're cursing at a priest.
It is.
And urinating.
Well, and
urinating
pissing all over yourself, sure.
Yeah. Now, Ronald's parents had enough at this point, Brandy. They took him to the Alexian Brothers Hospital in St. Louis for a more serious treatment.
Electroshock therapy.
I don't know how much
therapy.
More serious it gets when you got two priests in there. Once you get two priests in there and you decide to whip it out. And
maybe you need a rabbi.
It's gotten
maybe it's
pretty
like
serious.
Maybe you need two priests and a rabbi.
Nothing worse than a possessed,
a
wheezing teenager, Colonel.
There really isn't.
Nothing worse.
Finally, on April the 18th, 1949, a miracle occurred in Ronald's room at the hospital when it was a Monday after Easter, Brandy, and Ronald woke up with seizures. He yelled at the priest, saying that Satan would always be with him. The priest laid holy relics, crucifixes, medals, and rosary on the boy, and at 10:45 p.m. that evening, the attending priest called on St. Michael to expel Satan from Ronald's body. Why didn't they just do that before?
In the first place, yeah. I don't know.
They shouted at Satan, saying that St. Michael would battle him for Ronald's soul. 7 minutes later, Ronald came out of his trance and simply said, "He's gone." The boy recounted how he had a vision that St. Michael had vanquished Satan on a great battlefield. Now, there were no more documented instances of strange occurrences and behaviors after that, And Ronald went on to live a completely normal life from the from that moment forward. Despite
so, hold on. I think we're onto something here, Timmy. Mm-hmm. Now, do you know where we can get our hands on some of these holy relics, crucifixes, medals? And
Saint Michael, if you're listening to the podcast,
yeah, we're gonna need you. Do we make an appointment? Do can we schedule something online? How do we do this? But Saint Michael,
you can't get enough. You can't get enough relics. You will never get enough relics for me.
Well, yeah, and who's gonna hold you?
Fucking
then?
Amateurs.
You mean, you bite, you spit, you... Ugh.
Fucking no one would
say, Timmy, that's going to be your job. You hold it down. I'll put the relics, the medals, the rosaries on them.
Wait a minute. Here's the question.
Scream at Satan.
Do you think that Timmy could hold me down? Honestly.
Well, somebody's got to take one for the team.
Well, I don't feel like you should sacrifice
Timmy. I think you underestimate
Timmy.
I think you underestimate Timmy.
I think you underestimate me.
I think we should lure her to Stonehenge on a prefix of a job interview.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
And then we push a stone over on her. Wow.
Yes, that would hold it down. And then we put the little... Oh, you're not Catholic. You're one of those weird religions, aren't you, devil? What is it? More men? You want more men?
You know what?
Is that what it was?
You're treading water here, bud.
You have the religion. You want more men.
No. And that's we have a lot of Mormons that answer that listen to this, so let's just not. Let's not alienate people.
Well,
how about
they,
that?
They have a...
Just
they
once.
Have, Mormons have a good sense of humor. I'm sure that they
yeah.
know it's done Mitt, in a good spirit.
Mitt Romney's one of the funniest guys I ever met.
Who?
I mean, Mitt Romney.
Oh, Mitt Romney. You met Mitt Romney.
I said, well, you know I did. Mm. Back when I had my battle with Ted Cruz going on, Romney didn't like him either.
He consulted with the colonel on his health plan. Healthcare plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when he was putting it up in Massachusetts.
The colonel suggested more Band-Aids.
Yeah, I did. just get a little Robitussin. Give everybody Robitussin.
So you shouldn't underestimate Robitussin, Brandy.
And the power of Robitussin is amazing. So
no one would ever no one would ever known of the exorcism of Ronald Doe, except of course the people who were participating in it. If it was not for an article in the Washington Post, which reported on the case in late 1949, so they reported on this case. And you're going to go into that. And then the author who wrote the book, Mr. Blatty, would then go on.
I'd love to get into that.
Write
love
his best-selling novel and potential film, later film. Continue,
so the
Brandy.
case wouldn't make headlines again for more than two decades.
That's 20
years. In 1971, an author by the name of William Peter Blatty penned the best-selling novel The Exorcist based on the unofficial diaries kept by Halloran and Bowdern.
I think
the book
I just
stayed
said
on the best. Yeah, well, thank you for that. The book stayed on the bestseller list for 54 weeks and it spawned the hit movie in 1973. the movie took many liberties.
Have you ever read the book, The Reincarnation of Peter Proud? I have. Yeah, I used to read it because it had some dirty parts in it. And
it did.
Yeah. I had, dog-eared those parts, Brandy, and read them frequently when I was 13.
Of course you
13.
Did.
Yeah. Continue,
the
Brandy.
Movie took,
sorry,
the movie took many liberties with its source material, turning the teenager into a 12-year-old girl named Reagan and not a boy named Ronald.
She took off his tallywhacker. They took a lot of liberties.
So hold on. This is a tenuous thing, but instead of Ronald, they used Reagan. And then, Timmy, now I want you to think this through and think it through hard.
Okay.
10 years later, we get a president, Ronald and Reagan.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
I don't have any because it's ignorant as fuck and who cares?
All right. Oh, yeah. It's ignorant if you don't want to think. But think it
just
through.
Continue to look at the shadows, Brandy. Live in the shadows.
Yeah, live in the shadows. Don't pull the scales back from your eyes so you can see the real world.
Don't worry about that man behind the curtain, Brandy. Just continue live your life.
There's Ronald.
It's when Chuck's behind the curtain, it's just creepy.
Reagan,
just
and then, then we get a Ronald and a Reagan.
Just continue, Brandy, shopping online, shopping at, on TV. The shopping channel, home shopping network. Just continue to take your Percocets when the Colonel and I
stop by the auto parts store every couple days, buy a quart of oil and bat your eyes at Lanny.
Yeah, just live in the shadows. Continue living in the shadows.
All right. So the movie story takes place.
She's a sheep.
Oh my God! You had stopped. You stopped fucking talking, and as soon as I talk, you start fucking running your goddamn jib. Shut it.
Just saying you're a sheep, that's all.
I'm just saying, zip it. Good gravy. The movies.
I'm just trying to,
fuck off.
Devil.
We're trying to bring you out of the shadows, Brandy. You can't just look at the shadows on the wall. You got to look behind you at the fire that are casting those shadows. That's all we're trying to do.
Oh, Timmy, that was beautiful.
It's actually Plato, but,
I know.
But you did not know that, Chuck. Shut the fuck up. You did not know that.
I know Plato inside and out.
Inside and out.
Not Plato. Plato. Different.
How do you pronounce Plato backwards, Colonel?
Plato backwards, that would be Otlap.
Otlap. Otlap.
That's amazing.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
I don't have any. It's fucking stupid. You're fucking ridiculous. Jesus Christ.
Live in your shadows. That's all I'm saying. Be happy with your fifth of whiskey and your Percocet.
I would be if we could get through this goddamn podcast.
We've got five pages to go.
God, the movie story also takes place completely in Washington, D.C. and the Georgetown area, which is
a nice area, Colonel.
Since Ronald was hospitalized for a week in Georgetown in late February of 1949. Although the scratches, shouting, spitting, red lines on the skin, and cursing in the movie mimicked what Ronald had experienced, the boy's head never turned 360 degrees like Reagan's did in the film.
Well, they're taking some artistic license. Like the Colonel, when he writes his book on how to make love to a woman,
He
takes some artistic license. He talks about the vagina with teeth.
Similarly,
because they're under 1% of all vagina have teeth, Brandy.
Ronald never vomited green matter during his many tantrums, nor did he use a bloody crucifix to masturbate.
But he did how could he use a crucifix to masturbate? I mean, it wouldn't have the same effect.
Oh, I don't want to think about that one.
Well, he'd just plunge it through his taint.
Yeah. Or his sack. Here's the important question, Brandy. Did he say, "Your mother sucks cocks in hell"? Because that's what our listeners want to know.
I don't
right,
know.
Colonel?
I didn't write that down.
to me, and didn't Plato, and I'm going to have to go back to this just for the devil because we got to be kind. Didn't he say something about, I don't know, it was like, forgive the person afraid of the dark. The real tragedy is someone who's afraid to see the light.
Google's a magnificent thing for you, isn't it?
He did say something like that, Colonel. But he probably said it.
And he's just spitballing.
He probably said it in Greek.
He's just spitballing there. All right.
No, I'm going to look that one up now.
But, Colonel, what's your thoughts about this young man masturbating with a crucifix? Because Linda Blair did that in the movie. And we would not, of course, we do not, and we would not want to encourage our listeners to do that.
No, unless it was, I don't know how you
just dug it into his taint.
But even any object, Colonel, we don't want people putting any type of object inside of them other than, you know, peni.
Other than the microchip the government's already put in.
Well, yeah. Women, I would like to, I don't know if you address this in your book, Colonel, or not, but you know, there are certain people out there who believe that men will try to implant a microchip into ladies by when they have, you know, relations. Your thoughts on that?
Well, what women don't know, Timmy, and this is something that, now, I don't want to discourage you from going to your gynecologist.
No, but
most women don't know.
We will never be anti pap smear on this podcast, Colonel.
Right.
We're pro pap smear, Brandy.
Here it goes, Timmy. I looked it up.
Smear that pap as much as you need.
Yes, pap it up. Pap it up.
Smear away, Brandy.
We can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when women are afraid of the light. Yes, he did say it, devil. He did say it, and he was talking to you.
It's like he's speaking to you, Brandy, from, you know, centuries ago.
I want you to consider.
He probably would have said it in Greek, but he's speaking to you, Brandy.
Okay. First of all, again, Google's an amazing thing. Let's not act like you came up with that.
I did. I remembered it, though. However,
empty fucking head.
Anyway.
What? Fuck
when
off.
When you go to your gynecologist, have you ever considered that maybe they're chipping you when they reach all the way up in there?
Brandy, could you explain, Brandy, to laymen such as the Colonel myself, how they actually smear the pap? The pap?
Yeah. Do they use like a ladle? Do they use one of those?
Do you know why? Wait a minute.
Is it
really
a paintbrush?
Wait a minute.
Do they spray?
I want you to say. I want you to give us.
Hey, Neanderthal. Do you really not know what that means?
I want you to give us a play by play of a pap smear. Would you do that for us? Can we do a live podcast?
No,
yeah,
you can't.
Yeah, live pap. Can we live pap this?
We can't. I will not.
Continue, Brandy.
I will not. Okay, thank you. Following the exorcism of Ronald Doe, his family moved... Or Roland Doe, sorry.
I bet we get more downloads than we get for this shit.
His family moved back to the East Coast. Sources say that Ronald found a wife and started a family. He named his first son Michael after the saint believed to have saved his soul. If Roland is still alive today, huh?
That was nice of him.
I know.
Yeah,
if Roland is still alive today, which I don't know why we don't know if he's still alive or not, he would be in his early 80s. Seems like sloppy investigative reporting.
Are you questioning my research? Is that what you're doing?
Yes, I did. Bowdern, on the other hand.
I believe Roland went into the wind, is what he did.
Bowdern died in 1983 after serving the Catholic Church for decades. Holleran lived until 2005 when he died of cancer. He was the last surviving member of the main team that had performed the exorcism of Ronald Doe. The room in Alexian Brothers Hospital was boarded up and sealed following the exorcism. The entire facility was torn down in 1978. I'm sure one had nothing to do with the other. The house where the family lived in Maryland is now an empty lot after it was abandoned in the 1960s. As for the cozy house in St. Louis where the exorcism took place, it's It got sold to new owners in 2005 for $165,000. Perhaps the buyers,
that's a lot of cash right there.
Perhaps the buyers embraced the property's legendary reputation that claimed that Satan must have lived in an upstairs bedroom.
You know, there's nothing worse than having Satan as a tenant.
No. But I'm sure you can,
plays music,
you can relate
loud
to
all
like
night.
Having an office near Satan, Colonel.
I can. It makes you. Sometimes I'll just be sitting in my desk, Timmy, and I feel a cold chill. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel real sharp pain in my ear. It's just. And the music. And
oh,
you know what
music
else
too?
They do? They burn right. popcorn in the microwave. Two offices from you, Timmy.
That's
scary. Let me ask you a question. If I could do that, do you think I would stop with just like a pain in your ear? Don't you think that I would just drive a stake through from
I was
ear
trying
to, ear?
To not be graphic, Devil.
Okay. Yeah, we try to be a very
family-friendly show.
Family-friendly podcast, Brandy.
Yeah.
The story of Ronald Hunkler received a new look in the early 1990s. The book Possessed, the True Story of an Exorcism, author Thomas B. Allen, when that book by Thomas B. Allen was released.
Didn't
after the investigation, after the investigation of the facts, the author offered a conclusion that Ronald was just a deeply disturbed boy, nothing supernatural about him.
How many people have said that about you, Devil? Aside from the boy thing, just deeply disturbed. Just I got a question for you, Devil. I got a question for you. And you know, our listeners feel like they know us. You know, they'd like to know things about us, about our lives, about our histories, and whatever.
Are we talking about pap smears again?
Have you ever been to therapy, Devil?
Sure. An hour where I can just talk about me uninterrupted? Fucking amazing.
Sounds like a
well,
boring
we,
hour.
You know, we could do history dweebs get to know the devil if you really want to open up and tell us some truths about yourself.
But you have to be honest, Brandy. You have to look inside of yourself.
You do. I mean, you have to get up in the morning and look yourself in the eye in the mirror in the bathroom.
Nobody
that's the only
that
way,
listens
so,
to this podcast or the two of you is old enough to deal with all of that. So, no, we're not going to do that.
Okay, I'm just saying. So, when you went to your therapist,
it's the live pap smear.
What did you talk about? Question.
Talked about how I have these asshole coworkers that interrupt me constantly and never let me get a full sentence out.
And hey, Colonel, you remember that time she had to be taken out on a stretcher?
Or by security.
No, I mean when she was toted off to the hospital.
She faked. She had all kinds of stuff to do that day. She faked fainting and had all kinds of hot firefighters come and pick her up. And then
fuck,
from that
was
day
not.
Forward.
There was not hot firefighters. That was like the getting ready to retire. That was a whole crew full of Tims.
Oh, yeah. It was the other lady that fell down that got the hot.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's what gave you the idea of falling out, because the lady fell down and had. These guys did look like strippers when they showed up. I thought they were just going to tear their uniforms off. And then all of a sudden, 2 weeks later.
2 weeks later.
Or whatever. The devil's falling out. Hoping for these, you know how
she's hoping for the Chippendales to show up.
Exactly, they got like they're passed out, but then all of a sudden you see one eye open up to look around, and they close it back up, and the devil gets a volunteer crew or some shit. I don't know what it was, but these men look like they were all about 10 years past retirement. So I'm sorry you got cheated on that one.
Yeah, Brandy, for that situation right. not to be embarrassing, you really have to die. I mean, if you if they're going to cart you out, in a squad, you really have to. You can't come back. There's no coming back from that. You have to like die. Okay. You have to do your
duty. First of all, do you know what my favorite thing about that story was though? Is that the three of you, you two and our boss, couldn't become real people enough to figure out, well, should we send her flowers? Well, I don't know. She's in the emergency room. Maybe she gets checked in. Or maybe if she dies. Well, what should we do? Well, I don't know.
Well, like, we would have definitely sent flowers if you died. I mean,
you guys couldn't come up with anything. Well, like,
there's no appropriate gift for a trip to the emergency room.
But we did, Devil, have a long conversation about it.
But I love the fact that flowers were... I love the fact that sending flowers was just bantered around. Like, what the fuck? No. And then I said, Chuck, I needed Chuck to come pick me up from the hospital. Do you think you could get a hold of Chuck on the fucking phone? No. Couldn't get a hold of Chuck. I finally had to get our boss to come get us, and he can't drive. You know, God doesn't give with both hands with him, and he's very smart, but God, he cannot drive. And I thought we were going to end up back in the emergency room because he almost killed us on the way back to work.
I'm just saying, Brandy, you got to be pretty sure you're going to die before you have them call a squad for you at work. You have to commit yourself.
Well, we were pretty sure she was going to die. I'm probably violating. This was before the surgery to repair your digestive thing, right?
Yeah.
That was when you were having a horrible chest pains?
Yes.
That's what caused you to get out there?
Yeah. Because remember, I looked like I was getting ready to... I looked like I was going... It was
over.
You
looked pretty green at the time. I did not think you were faking it. You played that one well, Devil.
Thanks. Well, you know. Took me a long time to get just that exact skin tone.
Yeah.
Fucker, idiots. Anyway, Alan concluded.
I was already measuring off your office.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you didn't die.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Alan concluded that much of the commonly accepted information about this story was based on hearsay and is not documented and was never fact-checked. Alan also concluded that individuals connected to the incident were influenced by their own specializations. To psychiatrist, Rolando suffered from mental illness. To priests, this was a case of demonic possession. To writers and film and video producers, this was a great story to exploit for profit.
To a gynecologist, he had a problem with he needed a pap smear. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Needed a tank cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
In short, Alan claims those involved saw what they were trained to see.
Never underestimate the value of a dick cleaning, Brandy.
No. Sometimes perfect. I take mine to the car wash.
Each purported to look at the facts, but just the opposite was true. They manipulated the facts and emphasized information that fit their own agendas.
Well,
now, Chuck, do you want to
participate? Timmy, I got a question for you, Timmy.
Okay,
Colonel.
If on that day the devil would have actually died, who do you think would be doing the podcast with us right now?
We would probably got someone who was, I don't know, good. I was searching for a word there, I guess.
A word, yeah.
No, Brandy awesome. Is very popular with a certain segment of our population, our listeners.
Amazing pros.
The man haters.
Lesbian man
the
haters.
The man haters club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, they do listen. They do listen. They listen, I think, because they like Brandy and they hate men. But,
yeah,
you know, we're glad that they're listening.
Okay.
Because we are basically the prototype men, Timmy. We are basically He-Man.
We are He-Man.
And if you're going to have a He-Man man-haters club.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, were you targets?
Well, of course, we're your stereotypical He-Man, Brandy. Your thoughts on that?
Okay, yeah, I'm ignoring that. Chuck, do you want me to take this last page, or are you going to actually read it?
Oh, I can read it.
I've got multiple syllable words in that. So
yeah, there's polysyllabic words in here, yeah. Devil. And what that word means is there's more than one syllable. So I'll handle this, Devil. I got it.
He's got it, Brandon.
Don't you worry your pretty little head about this, Devil. I got it.
He's got it.
Now, despite these critiques.
Now, don't interrupt
me, Brandy. I'm going to tell you about some weird coincidences, and this is going to make you make the hair on the back of your neck stand straight up.
Make your skin crawl, Brandy.
Make your skin crawl. Might make you pee a little bit.
Pee a little bit.
Despite these critiques, there have been many weird coincidences associated with the Exorcist movie.
Hmm.
9 deaths were connected to the film.
9, Brandy.
9 deaths. Including Jack McGowan, who played Burke Dennings. Now, that sounds like a porn name. He died 1 week after the release of the movie.
1 week, Brandy.
A night watchman died on the set as well.
Night watchman.
A special effects expert died. Linda Blair's grandfather, Max von Sydow's brother, died on the first day of shooting. Also while filming.
He did what on the first day of shooting?
He died.
Well, it doesn't say that.
Well, I've heard it.
You assumed.
Well, me and Timmy, we got this psychic vibe going on. He doesn't even have to. If he wouldn't even have written this down, I would have known it. I can just.
It's an energy, Timmy's Brandy. Mind. It's hard to explain.
Mm-hmm. Now, also while filming, the son of Jason Miller, who played Father Damien Karras, was killed when a motorcycle hit him.
Hit by a motorcycle, actress, Brandy.
Actress Mercedes McCambridge, who played the demonic voice of Pazuzu. Let's call the devil Pazuzu from now on.
Well, you know, that
was the victim
that's one of, very
of
good
a
things.
Horrific tragedy when her son murdered his wife and children before taking his own life.
How do you explain that, Brandy?
Well, yeah. Let me just say that I'm looking at a picture of Jack McGowan because I couldn't place him. And, you know, he died a week after the release of the movie. He was 112.
Well,
in the picture that I'm looking at.
But he could have died. There was 112 years before that movie came out. He was fine.
Exactly. And yeah, no. For 112 years he was good. Then all of a sudden the film comes out.
And
now, hold on, I got more.
Like, yeah,
while
he was
on
really
the set,
old.
Ellen Burstyn, who played Reagan's mother, suffered a permanent spinal injury during a stunt gone wrong while shooting a scene where Reagan throws her from the bed.
Oh, that's not good,
Brandon. That was her real scream of pain used in the film. It's like one of those, it's like Apocalypse Now when
it's like method
Martin
acting.
Sheen cut his hand. Yeah.
But, you know, with that spinal injury, you know, that's sad. But she get the Percocet, Brandy.
She did get the Percocet. Mm-hmm. She's still taking them. Mm-hmm. Now, the entire set for the McNeil home caught fire and burned down, delaying filming for 6 weeks.
How do you explain that,
Brandy? Reagan's demonic bedroom where Satan was abiding, meanwhile, remain untouched.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
It happens.
During the film's Rome premiere, now you know...
That's in Italy.
Rome is the heart of exorcism, right in the Vatican.
Yeah, it's in Italy.
During the premiere, lightning struck a 400-year-old cross atop a 16th-century church. But probably the most disturbing aspect of the movie is that one of the film's extras became a serial killer.
Serial killer, Brandy.
In 1977 and 1978, the New York gay community was terrorized by a series of bag murders in which 6 male victims were mutilated and dismembered, their remains wrapped in plastic bags and dumped in the Hudson River.
That's just
some
rude, Brandy.
Of the grisly fragments washed up on the Jersey Shore, others came to ground near the World Trade Center. Now, on September 14, 1977, film critic Addison Barrow was beaten and stabbed to death in his New York apartment. Police arrested Paul Bateson, a 38-year-old X-ray tech, who confessed to meeting him in a gay bar. After having sex at Barrow's flat, Bateson crushed his skull with a metal skillet and then stabbed him in the heart.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
That sucks.
Yes. And yes, in 1973, you see, Paul Bateson joined the cast of the 1973 horror classic The Exorcist as an extra in the film. Convicted of the homicide on March 5, 1979, he drew a term of 20 years to life in prison, which doesn't seem like much for killing all kinds of people. Now, while awaiting custody, while in custody awaiting trial, he bragged of killing other men for fun, dismembering their bodies, and dropped and bagged the remains in the Hudson River. What kind of sicko Timmy brags about killing people for fun? Do we know anybody like that, Timmy?
I don't want to name names.
Okay. Detectives satisfied themselves of Bateson's guilt, but he was never charged with the bag murders that later inspired the movie Cruising. That's one I would recommend. Al Pacino's in it. It's a very good movie. This remains technically unsolved. Now, Paul Bateson ultimately served 24 years and 3 months of his sentence, which is right under the on the low end of 20 to life, and he became eligible for parole in 1997. On the day after his 63rd birthday in August 2003, he was released from the Arthur Kill Now, see, this seems like a weird name for a jail. The Arthur Kill Correctional Facility on Staten Island. According to online records kept by the state's Department of Corrections and Community Supervision, his parole was successfully completed in November 2008. His whereabouts are unknown today, Timmy.
Unknown, Brandy.
I'm sure somebody knows.
What do you think about that, Brandy?
Well, somebody should find him.
All right, Brandy, your final thoughts on the true story of Ronald, whatever his name was, Ronald Hunkler, the true story of The Exorcist. Your final thoughts.
There's a humanity we look for. I enjoy the movie very much.
I did not like the film.
Now, Brandy, do you think that the true story was a real case of a demonic possession or not?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of things that we don't understand.
Well, perhaps so. You who just live in the shadows don't understand them. But the Colonel and we
live in the light.
Yeah, we live in the light. Colonel, your final thoughts on the true story of Ronald Hunkler, the true story behind The Exorcist. Your thoughts, if any.
Oh, I think Beelzebub crawled right up his 13-year-old ass, Timmy, and possessed him and owned him, Timmy. And if it weren't for those two heroic priests, he'd still be going about doing his nasty business today, Timmy.
And that is where we have to leave you today. We would like to thank all of you who support us through Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot,
or just a wee little bit.
And Colonel, who would we like to thank this week?
What today, Timmy? We'd like to thank some new ones, Brett and Cheryl and the Dweeb. We'd like to thank again Shailene Neron, who we forgot the last time, Nick Johnson, Timothy Sloan, Mary Sheldon, Gina Green, who I have yet to meet up in a fantasy football league, but I will in 2 weeks. And I'll
are you in the
down on her?
Are you in the history tweets?
Fantasy.
Oh,
football.
I didn't know you were involved in that. Okay.
Oh yes, I am. I am the king. Well, Nick, Ben Dobrovich put it together, but I'm the king of Yahoo Fantasy.
Do you
football.
Win? Have you won it yet?
I have not won it yet. The season's still going, but I've
no, no. I mean, is this your first year participating? Or
yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's see. We got Whitney James, Jay Cleveland Payne, Nina Girard, Carl Asplund, Suzu Van Hook, Paula Kimes, Jim Seabright, Andrew Scammell, Tommy Lane is in my ear.
Aloha, Tommy Lane.
Aloha. Jason Dykes, Terry Stratford, Malachi, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Savoda, Per Westman, Maggie Glover, Gracie's mom, Erica Kenny, Hyro, The Comeback Podcast, LK Bar Anutreen, Maurice Albanese, let's see, Philip Munson, Jennifer Riker Smith, one of the Austin Mafia down there.
Stephen Potts. Stephen Potts in the Australian Mafia.
The Australian Mafia, who is sitting at home today with a big gash in his scrotum, Timmy. Yes. I don't know how he did it. I didn't ask him.
Great story.
But, yeah. Ripped his scrotum right
away. That is not a good thing.
No,
I'm opposed to scrotum slashing, Brandy.
Scrotum slashers are the worst of the worst.
The worst kind of slashers, really.
They really are. Take my ear, take whatever, but don't slash my scrotum. Anna Garrett, Ben Dobrovich, Ursula, also known as Lynette, Clark and Diane Trowbridge. Clark, we hope you're healing up well. Clark had a minor surgery the other day.
Yeah, we hope you're doing
Beth
well.
Beth Ann Wallen.
Clark, there is a Dweebs Down Under meetup coming in 2020. So for those of you who are listening in Australia, join our Facebook group and message Stephen Potts, and he'll tell you all about it.
Yes.
Hope if his scrotum heals by then.
Yes, I plan on swimming over that, Timmy. Well, I think I might surfboard a little. I'm going to surfboard. I don't like to fly, you know that, so I'm just going to take a surfboard. Margaret McDonald, Aaron Turner Jess, Leanne Flanagan.
The lovely Leanne Flanagan.
The lovely Leanne.
Who I will be visiting.
Your movie watching partner.
I will be visiting in a few weeks.
Oh, will you?
Yes.
You're going back? Oh, that's right, because you're going to see Ben and Roseanne Fitton, too.
Yes, I will be in London. The week of Thanksgiving here in the U.S. They don't have Thanksgiving there because I think they're communists, but I will be there.
Well, what do they got to be thankful for, really, Timmy?
Well, that I'm coming over there.
They had this tiny, think about it. They had this tiny little colony, and they were like, oh, this is a nice place. This is really going to help our country. And we kicked their ass right out of here.
Hmm.
We said, get your funny talking asses back home.
Oh, my God.
They think they speak proper English over there, Colonel.
Yeah, they do. I know. That's really funny, the way they think that. But, you know, they ain't walking in the light either, Timmy.
Yeah.
So who else do we have? Julia Rodriguez, Mike Sadler, Jamie Dent. And, Timmy, when you get over to England, try to find out what it is that Miss Flanagan does for a living.
Yeah.
Because during DweebCon, you know she's an international woman of mystery.
Yes.
During DweebCon, I followed her, Timmy. I followed her everywhere.
Did you learn?
I tailed her, Timmy.
Did you learn anything?
I learned she made a lot of calls on a cell phone.
Hmm.
That's all.
It's curious, Brandy.
Suspicious. Mm-hmm.
Is it?
It is.
Okay.
Tyrone, Marsha Boris, Stacey Alsop, John and Sean Wells, Amber Anderson, They Walk Among Us, Lorna Violet, Michael Deo, Kelly Charette, Karen Widener, Callie Jones. Haven't seen you, Callie. I hope you show
you know,
up on
Callie Jones is the female.
She's fine. We're Twitter friends.
She is the female Nick Johnson.
She is. Me and Mrs. Jones.
Now, Callie is a lot more attractive than Nick Johnson.
I would say so, yes.
But they're both very funny.
They are very funny. They are very. I think Callie's one of. You should follow her on Twitter. She's one of the funniest people you ever meet. Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Pleasing Terrors with Mike Brown, Sarah Bloom, who we all love deeply, Amber Krupp, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Kimberly Cameron, Elise Edgerton, History Goes Bump, Amber Trevino, Annette Petray, Lise, Lajaro Lopez, Alicia and Chip Mincy, Markia Smith, Dr. Jeff and Don, Andrew Happ, Karen Bonds, Rachel Flynn, Shirley Strapp. We hope you're doing well, Shirley. Todd Long, Melissa Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Maja. And we have my co-host, Karen Michelle. Carol
of
East, Christian
of Spy Stories.
Spy Stories.
Yes.
Yes. Christian Malachinsky, Adam McWaters, Paula Kimes, The Vanish Podcast, Canadian True Crime, Charlie from Charlie Worrell
from Crime Lines.
Crime Lines. Angela Santos, Lydia Wasson Fisher, Kim Stroop, Nicole Adams or Mistress Veda, Ron Monastero, Tracy Smith, Bridget Bernard, Stacy, Cheryl Weldon, Veronica Moreno, Chris Lane, Alexandra, Elaine Baker, Vivian Baca, Amanda Lupus, Shannon Arnold, Kimberly Smith, right up here in my neck of the woods, Robin Sherrard, Ruth Keith Whitfield, Cassie Kitchens, Natasha Burgess, Julie Bentley, Patty Schmidt, the lovely Lady Beverly Timmy. If it probably weren't for her, they'd say we weren't classy enough and they'd shut the whole page down.
Yes.
Rudy, the wonder dog, the world's most amazing canine.
When is Bo going to become a Patreon supporter?
He's not old enough to have his dog work permit. To me, he's about 3 or 4 months away from
that. Oh, okay.
But he has been kicking in a quarter or two here for Rudy's.
So I should put okay.
And now, while there was only not a whole lot of body count, well, see, we did cover the body count for you here, Dottie, when we got into the gay serial killer. So I hope there was enough. But the woman who we do the show for week after week after week, Dottie Scott, Timmy.
Yes. And I think I didn't update that list with Rebecca, who was very generous.
Natalie?
Yes.
Le Tolle? Le Choulet?
Yes. Thank you, Rebecca. All right. That'll wrap this Halloween episode up that we're releasing in November. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you will join us next time. Thank you, everyone, and have a good day.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.